You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Speaking of getting out in the water, let's all jump in the boat together. Open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 4 as we look at lessons in the storm. And I want to read through this and then we'll pray. We're going to finish up the chapter starting in verse 35. And I'll read it while you're finding your way there. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And I thank you for the ministry you're going to do right now to your flock. God, your people right now, many of them are in the midst of a terrible storm. Some of them are in small storms. Some of them are in large storms. Some are in no storm at all. But I know, God, that with this many people, there are many in this room that are in storms, and we all as believers go through them, and we need to know, Lord, that you are going to be with us in the storm and see us through to the other side. And I pray you would use your word and your Holy Spirit to encourage your people today in that very thing. God, minister to your people. Encourage them, Lord. Pour out your spirit. Be our teacher. And again, I ask, Lord, that you would even today, maybe in some of those going through storms, maybe this is their moment where you're going to say, "Peace, be still." And even if the storm doesn't calm for some in this room today, because the trial is not yet done, I pray that you would calm the storm in their heart, that every heart in this room would be settled and smooth as glass, knowing that you are in control of all things. So, Lord, we give you the glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we look today at lessons in the storm. Did you know that all of us are in one boat or another? There's two different boats that the Bible talks about. The Bible doesn't say it that way, but I'm going to put it in those kind of terms. There's the boat of the unsaved and the boat of the saved. And I'm going to add a third boat in that, if I will, and that is oftentimes a boat that God isn't really leading, but the believer gets in anyway. And the question we have to look at today is, what boat are you in? If you're an unbeliever, you're in a boat that you're going to face the storms of the world all alone. You don't have the help of the Lord. Storms are bad enough, but you've got to figure it out. And again, if you realize after today's teaching that you're in the wrong boat and you don't even know the Lord, you can receive Christ and get in the boat with us, and you're still going to have storms. You know, I can't say the storms are going to go away, but you know this. When you're in the boat with the Lord, your boat's not going down. Now, for the believer, there's a couple of boats. There's the boat, again, with the Lord, and there's another boat that some of you may be in this morning, and maybe many of us have been at certain times in our life, and that is we jumped in a boat that we wanted to head out in. It's the boat we want to go this way. So we're going to jump in this boat, and we go, and we don't realize, you know what, I'm not sure the Lord's with me in this. You know, the way this works, we don't say, "God, I want to go do this, and now I'm asking you to bless it. I'm sending my boat this direction. Lord, would you get in?" It doesn't work that way. The way we have to do it is we say, "Lord, what boat are you in? Let us get in the boat with you. And then whatever way you're going, that's the way we know is best. And that's the way I want to go." And I look at it this way. And I was studying this. I was picturing myself getting in the boat with the Lord and all the disciples. And I got on the boat. "Look, I don't care if I get to row. I don't care if I'm in the front. I don't care if I'm the back. I don't care what I do. What do you want me to do? I'm here to serve on this boat." We need to have that attitude, guys. We need to be ready. If he calls us to row, we row. If he calls us to raise the sails, we raise the sails. If he calls us to swab the deck, we swab the deck. Whatever God calls us to do, because this is his church, it's his boat, and we need to make sure that we're in the midst of it. And we don't want to be in our own boat, going out in our own little path, in our own direction. It's not that, look, if you're a believer and you get in your own little boat and go your own way, you're still saved. You're going to go to heaven. And when you start to panic and the storm hits, God's still going to answer when you call. He's not going to ignore you and turn his back on you. But when you're in the boat that you know the Lord is in, you know it's always going to be okay. And so that's the goal. If you look at that boat and you're in the midst of the storm, you say, "Look, I'm in a boat that the Lord put me on. I'm going to be fine." In ministry, there's lots of boats. Now, when you step out in whatever ministry God has called you to do, or whether just in your home, you're going to have lots of storms, rather. And in those storms, what I have to realize and what I want to think about is, Lord, is this a storm that I'm in because I'm in the right boat, or is it a storm that I'm in because I'm in the wrong place? And if you know that God has sent you there and you're in the right place, you're going to be okay. You are going to get to the other side regardless of what's happening. And I believe there's, again, many of you this morning, the Lord specifically wants to let you know it's going to be okay. I know it seems rough. I know it seems that winds are blowing from all directions and the waves are crashing. We'll get to that as we get more into the passage. But if you simply hold on tight and keep your eyes on the Lord, you will get to the other side. Sometimes it's quite the ride, but God is always faithful, and God allows these storms in our life to grow our faith. I had someone ask me last night after the service, does God send us into the storm, or as we serve the Lord, does the storm just come? And I would say, I believe it's both. The bottom line is the Lord knows the storm is there, and he still sends us to do the ministry that he's called us to do. And while we're headed toward that ministry, the storm's going to strike. Yes, maybe the enemy's doing it, whatever the case might be, but God still sent us that direction. And so either way, God is going to use it to grow us and mature us. Now, it's interesting, as we get into this passage and we see them crossing over, we're going to see in the passage some indications that would say to me, this is a demonic storm as well. It's not just an earthly storm where the wind and the waves are crashing, which really is happening, but the enemy, I believe, is stirring the storm, and we'll get more into the language when we get to that. Why would that be? Remember, on the other side of this where they're going, they're heading to the other side, an area called Gadara, which is the land of the Gadarenes, and this is where the demoniacs were that were demon-possessed. And we see that when Jesus gets over there, he casts out what appears some 2,000 demons out of these two men that are over there. So realize this is a spiritual battle. And the enemy knows that God is going over to set these men free. And so there's going to be a fight in that. And so although we talked about evangelism or the gospel kitchen or whatever ministry you're involved in, when you're going to do that, the enemy realizes you're going to set people free and you're going to face opposition. Don't be shocked by it. I think sometimes we don't realize the opposition is as strong as it is until we get in the boat and start going. You know, it's kind of nice when you're sitting in there and everything's smooth. And then all of a sudden the storm begins to come and everything changes and it's rather drastic. Again, that's what we're going to see even today. The Lord starts out this day on very smooth waters. This is the same day we started back in chapter 4 a few weeks ago, where he's teaching through the parables, and he had to get out in the water a little bit away from the crowds so he could speak to them and they could hear the word being taught. And the water is wonderful. There's no problem whatsoever. And then later on that evening, everything just goes crazy. And that's exactly what happens when we follow the Lord. We start out oftentimes very smoothly and things get really crazy very quickly. And as a new believer, it's a real test to our faith. I would say even as an older believer, it's a test to our faith. Storms are still storms, but the more storms you endure, the more you trust God, because you see that God is always faithful in the midst of them. I think of all the storms, all the years I've been through, God has been faithful in all of them. But I can remember some of the storms that I had, I started thinking, am I going to survive this? Is the ministry going to survive this? Are we going to make it? Is God going to shut everything down? Well, no, not if, look, if God calls us to ministry and we're not living in sin or doing something we know that would disqualify us, God's not going to shut down what he's called you to do. He's going to complete the work that he's called you to. He's going to get you to the other side. Our job is just to stay in the boat and be faithful. And again, as a new believer, you start thinking, oh, we're going to drown. We're all going to die. And we're going to see that the disciples are doing this. And I think oftentimes also for those especially young in the faith, the temptation is, this boat's too rough, I'm getting out. Guys, don't ever go to the temptation of, this storm's too rough, I'm getting out. I'm going to walk away. I thought that God would have moved by now. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Listen, if you jump out of the boat, you're certainly going to drown in the world as they swallow you up. The only way you're going to be safe as a believer is stay in the boat. Don't jump out of the boat. It's only worse when you do that. And I know in this situation, they literally wouldn't have even been thinking that. They're probably holding on for dear life. But I see a lot of Christians who, when things get tough, they jump out of the boat. When the storm gets hard, no, that's when we press in. That's when we say, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to hold on to you as tight as I can, and I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And again, we're going to get to that in just a moment. It's interesting when I think about them going to the Lord, and we'll see that in a moment where they go to him, and they're going to wake him up, and Lord, you know, save us in this. The storm was raging. It would have been hard even to get to him, to say to him, Lord, are you going to do anything? And so they were holding on for dear life. And sometimes storms seem that drastic. You're holding on for dear life. And maybe you're saying right now, you're talking to me this morning, Mark, I'm holding on for dear life. Know this, your boat's not going to sink. If you're in the boat with the Lord, it's not going to sink. You may get some water in it. You may be a little bit wet by the time you're done. You may be affected to some degree, but God's going to be faithful, and God's going to show that faithfulness to you in the midst of it. And no matter how bad the storm is, if we're with the Lord, it's going to be good, and God's going to be faithful in the midst of it as we go through it. So let's jump into this, and notice what happens. Remember the setting? He's been in the boat. He's been sharing with them, teaching on the water. We saw in the last couple of verses before we got into this, the last sentence, again, above there, the last couple, it says, and when they were alone, this is in verse 34, he explained all things to his disciples. So again, did he sit alone in the boat and explain to them? Were they already with him in the boat? Did he go somewhere else? We don't know, but either way, this is where we take up in verse 35. Look what it says. It says that on the same day, so we're still at the same time, when evening had come, so it's been a long day of ministry. The Lord's been ministering all day. And by the way, the waters have been smooth. And again, like I just want to reiterate this. When you step out of ministry, oftentimes there's those times of smoothness. But again, be ready because, you know, it's time to have the seatbelt nearby because the enemy's not going to sit back and pat you on the back when he sees people giving their life to the Lord or when he sees the ministry growing. So he said, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Now, this one verse we could probably talk about all day, but I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. But I do want to point out some very important things here. Notice, first of all, before the storm even hit, the Lord said, let us go to the other side. Now, God has said to you, let us go to the other side. I don't know what the other side is for you. I don't know what God has called you to in ministry. For you moms, it's raising those kids in the Lord. And sometimes the storm gets so great. You know, you're like, am I going to survive this? Or whatever the case might be, you're going to survive. Just hold on to the Lord, be faithful, and get your husband to help you. I'm just kidding. But either way, you're going to be fine. If you're called into ministry, you know, again, whatever that ministry is, beyond your own kids, then God will give you what you need in that. For those of us as men, he calls us into what he calls us into. But the reality is that he tells us what he wants us to do, and he gives us anchor scripture to let us know it's going to be okay. Notice he said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say, let us go out in the middle and die. He said, let us go out and go to the other side. And I want to encourage you, when you step out in ministry, ask God to give you what I call anchor scripture. And what do I mean by that? Lord, I need to hear from you that this is you. And I need to know that it's you. I need you to confirm that it's you because the storm is coming. And when the storm hits, it's going to be tempting to quit. You know, it's going to be very easy to say, you know what, this would be a lot easier not to put up with this. I'm out of here. No, don't do that. You go back to the scripture God gave you where God said, we're going to the other side. Be faithful in what I've called you to do, and there's a great reward for you waiting in the kingdom of God. So God is going to give you that anchor scripture. Some of you already have that anchor scripture. Some of you are in the midst of a storm right now. I want you to remember your anchor scripture. Remember what God said to you? Remember the promises God made? Okay, think about them right now. Meditate on them. Because God's going to keep his word. His word is sure. His word is steady. It doesn't change. He's not going to change his mind. The call of God is irrevocable. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He just wants us to be faithful to follow through the midst of the storm. And so this is where, again, he's teaching them. They need to do this. You're going to get to the other side. And so, again, even when it's, the calm is there, but the storm is coming, so to speak. And we shouldn't live in fear. Don't get me wrong. You don't want to live in fear all the time, wondering, you know, when am I going to get whacked? But we need to realize that there are going to be the attacks that come, and we need to trust the Lord in the midst of it. And again, I think one of the benefits of walking with the Lord a little bit longer is you begin to realize no matter how bad it looks, it's going to be okay. I've had certain times in the ministry over the years. I've been walking with the Lord now for about 38 years, probably 36 of it, really doing ministry. I started really young, working with kids and things that God called me into, not yet knowing what I was doing, quite obviously, and I don't know that I still do. But the point is, there's been a lot of storms over those 36 years and a lot of different battles, and there's times where you're thinking, this is it, we're going to sink. It's never sunk. God is always faithful, and God is always faithful. He's going to be faithful to you as well. And the next thing to note here is, again, God, whether you want to say God sent them into the storm or whether God allowed the storm, he's giving them this anchor scripture, and then they're going into the storm. He knows the storm's coming. He's the Lord. But he knew he needed to give them that so they'd have something to hold on to. Again, he wanted their faith to grow and to realize that he was going to be faithful through the storms and minister to us and be with us in the storm as well. Notice when they went out into the storm, he went with them. I think it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't by themselves in the fire. The Lord was with them in the fire. He doesn't always deliver us from the fire, but he'll always be with us in the midst of it. And the great thing is when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. God is faithful all the way through from beginning to end, no matter how bad and scary it gets. And again, we're going to see again that the Lord is going to show them this, just simply his presence and his power and the way he's going to work in this, and to let them know they're not alone. And you need to know this morning that you're not alone. God is there with you, and God's going to continue to be with you through the midst of it. But notice this, another, he shows here how they weren't alone as well. The Holy Spirit brings this out. Look at verse 36. It says, and when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Now, you know, you read the other gospel, it doesn't talk about the other little boats. And for years I would read this, I never noticed this until years walking with the Lord, that other little boats were even there. And maybe you've read past that, but guys, note this. Why did the Holy Spirit include the other little boats? You think, well, that's kind of an insignificant detail. No, I think it's very significant, because especially if you're in the middle of a storm, you need to know this morning you're not alone. Not just that the Lord's with you, but other people are going through storms as well. I think oftentimes when we're going through a storm, we're like, Lord, why is it so hard for me and so easy for everyone else? It's the same for all of us. We all have different times of storms and trials, and you need to realize there are many people in this room right now. They may not share it out loud. They're going through storms. Some people know the storms they're going through. Some don't. Some people are going through storms that even their spouse can't associate with. They feel so alone in this storm that they're in that they're working through that on their own, and God will even allow those types of storms so that we can grow and learn to trust him. Again, I've said it before, I'm going to repeat it. I think it was Corrie ten Boom that said, you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you have. And I'll tell you, for those of you that just made that noise, I guarantee it, you found that out. Because you've been through storms, you realize there's no help. I'm by myself. And then God goes, no, you're not, Mark. I've been here the whole time. I'm allowing this. And I've got a purpose for this. You've never been alone, not for a second. And you realize you're right. And you're all that I need. And when you realize that God is all you need, then everything else, any other help that you get from other people, those are bonus points. See how wonderful that is? If you're depending on everyone else to survive, you're always going to have that struggle. But if you learn that you can survive with you and Jesus alone, I'm not saying God called us to that. God called us to be there, to support each other, to walk with each other through these things, to have fellowship. We're supposed to strengthen. We're supposed to help carry one another's burdens. But there is a great advantage to learning that we're all alone, except we're not alone. God is there, and that God not only allowed us to survive, but we thrived through it. Because now we realize, Lord, you're all I need. And now that I've got the rest of my family in Christ, those are all bonus points. And so it's a wonderful place to be. It's hard to get there. God will get us there by his grace and his mercy. And really, sadly, one of the only ways to get there is through the storms. But I want you to realize this morning, you're not by yourself. There are others that are going through the same struggles you are, the same battles, the same temptations, the same difficulties. We all go through them. It's a part of the life experience that we have, and the Lord allows it because he wants to teach us and make us more like him. I was thinking, too, about these guys in the little boats. We're going to see the storm rise here in just a moment. And talk a little bit about how bad the storm is and how the language and even what we know goes on over there takes place, what kind of storm this was. But think about it. If these guys are going to be as scared as they are in the boat they're in, what about these guys in these littler boats? You know, I think about them. It's like some people's trials are scarier than others, but God was faithful to all of them. And so he's going to be faithful to you as well. And look what it says in verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, again, Mark jumps from 0 to 100 in no time in one verse, because that's the way he approaches things. But they go from calm waters to this massive storm. Now, we need to understand a little bit about how the storms work there in the Galilee area. Because of the setting, you've got the Mount Hermon. As you work up from Galilee, it goes up this slope all the way up to Mount Hermon there in the far north. And literally most of the year, and sometimes all of the year, there is snow on top of Mount Hermon. So that's how high it is. Well, you've got cold winds up there all the time. Because of that, you have cold air. Well, you're about 600 feet below sea level, if I remember correctly, at the Sea of Galilee. Don't quote me on that, but it's a very low place in as far as on the earth, one of the lowest places, including the Dead Sea is in there as well, and even lower than that. Well, what happens is, because it comes down from these cold airs, coming down to these hot, moist airs that are gathered there around the mountains that surround the Sea of Galilee, storms rise rapidly. The cold air hits the hot air and just like boom, in no time. They say you can be out on the Sea of Galilee and just a storm happened immediately. Someone was sharing with me on an Israel trip they were on. I've never been out there when one of those happened. And it wasn't a massive storm like we're going to see here, but they said they were out there and suddenly one of those storms rose up very quickly And they got a picture of what this is like. And so it wasn't as bad as this one, but it happened just, they said it was like just instantly almost. Because the moment those, the hotter and the colder hit, it causes a disturbance there in the environment and causes these storms. And again, so this is something that, again, it happened very quickly. That's how the storms took place in that day. And again, notice also, it's not just a storm that's coming on quickly after they're already out into the water, but it came on at night. That's one thing to be in a storm. It's another thing to be in a storm in the water. It's another thing to be in a storm in the water at night. And so it just kind of goes up exponentially. I mean, I don't mind being on a boat. That doesn't bother me that much, but I don't want to be out in the ocean with giant waves and a big storm. I don't think that anyone would look forward to that. But again, imagine this is what they're going into. And the Lord, again, allowing them or sending them into this as they're doing this. And again, I've been told that when these storms take place, they've registered waves as high as 10 feet tall. Now, it's hard to imagine when you hear that. You think, yeah, okay, 10 feet tall. And one way, when you think about the ocean, that doesn't seem that big. But if you've ever been in 10-foot waves like I have, I was in a deep-sea fishing trip one time, and it's a medium-sized boat. And 10-foot waves, you don't realize how far it is from the ground up to the goalpost until you're in it. And you're doing this. They said, yeah, these are about 10-foot waves. Imagine going from the ground up to a goalpost for basketball. That's where you're going up and down, up and down. It's rather dramatic. And that wasn't even a storm. That was just some high waves. So these things can come up, and the waves can get as high as 10 feet, they say, and sometimes even more than that. Imagine on top of that, the wind and everything blowing that's happening in that. Again, this would have been a very scary situation that was taking place here with them as this great windstorm arose. And notice it says it beat into the boat. Again, the waves were, it was so hard, the waves were beating in the boat, it was already filling up. So now you have the waves blowing from all sides, you're being thrown all directions. Now the waves are coming in, the water's in the boat, which makes you think it might sink. Everything that could create panic was happening at this moment, and we've all been in those. And again, why would the Lord allow this? Because he wants us to know, no matter how scared we get, he's going to make sure that it's okay. And again, the experience of going through this is oftentimes how we learn it. That's the hard part. But again, it's something that we have to go through. And by the way, as I said, I know that some of you are going through this right now. And that's why the Holy Spirit is ministering to you through this particular passage. It's interesting in the Greek language. The Hebrew and the Greek are interesting. The way God chose the languages to write the Bible with. And he also used Aramaic or Chaldean and Aramaic as well. But again, the Old Testament, the majority of it is Hebrew. And the New Testament is Greek with, again, some Chaldean there in the Old Testament as well. But the reason is the Old Testament is very picturesque, the Hebrew language rather. When you read Hebrew, it paints a picture for you of things that are happening. So you can vividly see in your mind as you do the word studies of what's going on. So it's really exciting the way that God used the Hebrew language to write it. Very poetic as well. In Greek, it's very exacting, which I like because, again, that takes away that whole, that's your interpretation. No, the Greek doesn't really allow that. Now, there may be some places you can make that argument. But as you get into the Greek language, it locks most of the major doctrinal teachings in so tightly, no one has wiggle room to give their interpretation. You have no wiggle room. You can't interpret. It is what it is. It says what it says, and the language locks it in. That's one of the reasons I love the Greek language, and I think the reason God chose it for the New Testament. But one of the things that the Greek language does, it has something called a historical present. Again, it uses different tenses and different things. The historical present is exactly what it sounds like. It's where you're reading something that happened in the past. It is historical, but it's written in such a way that it's happening right now. That's how this is written. This is in the historical present. What that means is the Holy Spirit chose to write this for a particular reason, using that specific language that Greek uses to say, right now a storm is happening. You know why he wanted us to read it that way today? Because right now, a storm is happening. Right now in this room, you guys are in storms. And what God is saying by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, and the way that the Holy Spirit wrote it is, I see you in your storm. I recognize this isn't something we're reading about just happened in the past, although it did happen to them in the past, but I recognize that you're on a boat right now, and it's crazy. You've got wind coming from all directions. You're being thrown around. You're banging into the mast. You're holding on to the sides. Water splashing in on you. You're wondering if you're going to survive. And you're thinking, where's the Lord in all this? Why isn't God helping? Again, it's interesting. We're going to see that, again, as this storm is going on, they had to go and wake him up. And what that means is the Lord allowed them to go through this for a long time until they woke him up. He was the Lord. He knew what was going to happen. He could have awakened. He allowed them to go through this moment of this storm long enough for them to learn what they needed to learn and for them to see his power to deliver them out of it. And you might be thinking, why is God letting this storm go on? Why isn't God moving around? Lord, awake, as the psalmist says, awake, Lord, awake to my need. They're thinking the same thing. God is not asleep. He never sleeps or slumbers. But he does put things on delay, and he waits and he watches so that we can, again, learn to grasp for him and then see his faithfulness in the midst of it. And the next time it happens, we're not as freaked out. And the more it happens, the more we trust and the more we turn to the Lord. So if you're thinking, God, why aren't you awake? You know, why aren't you helping us? We're going to see that in a moment. You're not alone in that. The disciples are at this point right here. God allowed it, and God's allowing it in your life because, again, he wants you to see his power, and he wants you to see that with a word, he can deliver you from this. Now, some other things about this storm, not just the fact of how it came up and probably how large the waves were. The word here used to describe the rising, if you will, of this no small storm is the word that is used for a hurricane. So were these hurricane force winds? I don't know. We know it wasn't a hurricane because they're on a lake. It's about 8 foot across and about 13 miles long is the Sea of Galilee. But these are hurricane force winds, or the storm was equivalent to a hurricane. So imagine being in the boat that they're in, being described as a hurricane. It was so violent that it frightened even these seasoned fishermen. Again, this wasn't their first rodeo. They made their living on the Sea of Galilee. They probably had many storms arise when they were in the boat. But this one was especially fearful. And so again, you may be in an especially fearful situation at this moment. God's not afraid. And God's not losing any sleep. And he wants you to know that. Even as we're going to see, he slept in the stern. His point is, God is at peace. You can be at peace. If the Lord's at peace, I'm going to be at peace. Again, if you're in the boat with the Lord. Again, on that deep sea fishing trip, it was one thing because I'm watching all these big waves and everybody else getting sick, and I was about to get sick and somebody saved me with Dramamine. But the bottom line is I'm watching this, you know, and the captains and the guys, they were just kind of laughing, having a big time, laughing, walking down the boat, checking on people, how you doing, whatever. Okay, I felt good. But if they had come out and they had their eyes were like this, I'd have been like, okay, wait a minute, we've got a problem. You don't want the captain of the ship to look scared, right? Jesus, in this whole picture of the storm, is sleeping. He's so rested. So he is not freaked out about your trial. And you say, yeah, well, he's not the one in it. No, listen, he's in it with you. He just knows the outcome. And he knows that he's in control of it. And he knows that he's going to deliver you from it. And you're going to see his power. It's amazing that he let it go on for as long as he did without doing anything. Again, I wish the Lord would calm the storms before they even began. But he doesn't do that. He allows them. And then watch this again, how he's doing. Look at verse 38. But he, that is Jesus, was in the stern. That's the back of the boat. And the way those boats were designed, there'd been an area back there he could have laid down. Probably something that was actually built up higher than the floor of the ship there. Asleep on a pillow. How do you sleep during that? And again, how do you, with water coming in, it shows you how tired he was. But again, it shows you the rest he had in the Father. And the rest that he wants us to have in the Father in the midst of the storm. He's asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him. And look what they said to him. How, again, if they had known what they were saying, they would have never said this. But I think of how really insulting this would have been. The Lord could have really rebuked them, but he didn't. He showed that he was very gracious because he knew they didn't know who he was and what he'd really done, that he'd come from heaven. But look at this. Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care that we're perishing? Number one, you're not perishing. You're not going to die. And do I not care? I left the throne of glory. I came to the earth and took on a human body that has aches and pains and gets sick and gets cut and all these things. I allowed people to betray me and people to attack me and pull out my beard and beat me and nail me to a cross. That's going to happen. I know you guys don't know that yet, but you're thinking that I don't care about you because you're in this terrible storm. I gave everything for you. Guys, those of you in the terrible storm right now and those of you that will be in the terrible storm, he gave everything for you. He loves you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to go through. He's going to be faithful. There's a purpose in all of it. There's a goal. I said in the unbeliever's boat, there's no goal and purpose. It's just hang on for dear life. Maybe you make it. Maybe you don't. For those who know Christ, there's a destination and there's a purpose and there's a goal, and he will complete the work that he's begun. Do you not care? Again, I was thinking about just how hard it would be even to get to the Lord to say that to him. You know, you're hanging on, the wind's blowing, it's loud, you're going up and down, it's crashing everywhere. Lord, do you not care that we're going to die? You know, and he wakes up. You know, it's like, if you only knew who I was. And see, this is part of the problem. We don't realize who our God is. Guys, look, how big is your God? I know you're facing problems today. It could be the storm, it could be outside the storm. Here's the question. How big is your God? Notice how big our God is. Look at what happens here. And that's the understanding how big our God is what sets us free and gives our heart peace in the midst of the terrible storms. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now notice this, why would you rebuke wind and sea? Again, I'm not saying that couldn't be simply God rebuking the wind and the sea, but this is why I believe that this is a demonic attack, and this is something where the Lord is rebuking the enemy as the enemy is stirring up the wind and the sea. Again, it's interesting. It's more of a rebuke to a person than it is a correction of nature. And when he says, peace be still, it literally means peace be muzzled. This is another reason I think it's demonic. You don't need to muzzle the ocean or the sea, the lake. You don't need to muzzle the wind. You muzzle something that's going to bite you. And that was the enemy, I think, attacking. Even as you would muzzle a wild animal or muzzle a dog or whatever the case might be, the Lord is saying, peace, be muzzled. And I think he's rebuking the demonic realm and stopping them from doing this. And the Lord can say the same thing for you. We need to be praying, Lord, rebuke the demonic realm. But if the Lord is going to, again, tarry a little bit longer till he moves on your behalf, know that God hasn't forgotten. He was going to do it. He allows it for his reasons. But again, he says, peace, be still. When he rebukes it again, and the wind and the sea, and there's a great calm here that takes place. Now, when it talks about a great calm, it gives the idea here of everything just suddenly calming down to nothing. Imagine all the wind, hurricane force winds, the waves everywhere. You're being thrown all over the boat. You wonder if you're going to survive. Waves crashing in one after another. The language means continually they were crashing against the boat. And suddenly it gives a picture of the great calm in the language. It just went, phew. Imagine that. How freaky that would have been. It's like the boat probably barely moving a little bit. Everything gets quiet. You're like, what? What just happened? And they all heard him say that. He said it no doubt forcefully. Be muzzled. Peace, be still. And also, whew. And they've got to be thinking, who is this? Who am I in the boat with? I mean, I'm glad I'm in the boat with him. But I had no idea of his power. No idea of his authority. What they didn't realize, guys, is what you need to realize right now in the midst of your storm. You're in the boat with the one who spoke in Genesis 1:1, let there be, and there was. With a word. Now, I hope that that word happens for you this morning. And I'm going to pray for you in a moment, and you pray on your own. And I hope that God just calms the storm in your heart. And look, here's the thing. Even if God didn't take your storm away, maybe it's not time for him to arise. But even if he doesn't, he'll calm your heart. That water's going to go smooth in your heart. He'll calm your heart. And then when the storm's raging around you, you're going to be okay. And in his timing, he'll calm the rest of the storm. But you need to realize that you serve the God of the universe who has all power and all authority and can change anything in your life situation right now with a word. And that's what they're finding out. This would have been, again, it's interesting. Again, notice this. They're more afraid after this than before. Look at this. It says, peace be still. There's a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Again, they were afraid. Again, we'll see in the next verse even more of what he had done because of this. But notice, first of all, he deals with their faith. Why didn't you have faith? Again, because they didn't fully understand who they were with. Now, they had seen the miracles. He'd already done miracles by this point. So the Lord is not being, he's not asking them something they couldn't have been able to do. They should have been able to have greater faith or he wouldn't have asked this question. But how often is it that it takes us a long time to grow in our faith until we really see God working in our situation in a powerful way? How many times has God said to me and to you, you know, why do you have such little faith? Did you not know that I was going to take care of this? And once we learn that God's going to take care of it, now we can rest. As I said, I had many times early on in my Christian walk where I thought, this ship's going down. We're not going to make it, whether it's personal level or ministry level. But now, honestly, when the storms rage, and oftentimes, guys, storms now, you know, when you get older in the Lord, God allows, I think, sometimes larger storms. I have new storms. As the church has grown, and I shared this with the pastors, there are new storms I've never been through. There are things I've never seen. They're like, this is a new storm I've never experienced. It's like there's nothing to draw on from the past. However, here's what I do have to draw on from the past. God was always faithful. He was always faithful. So now what I do, it just, you know, hold on, listen, you're in the middle of that storm. You know you're in the boat that God puts you in. You're not in your own boat. You're following the Lord. You grab onto that mast. You get your eyes fixed on the Lord. You plant your feet and say, Lord, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I know this boat's not going down. It's not going down because you're in it. And you're going to lead me beyond that, and God's going to be faithful to see you through that. I remember getting on a plane one time, and I saw this guy. It's happened a couple times in my life, but I saw this really famous pastor get on the plane. And I got on the plane, and it's like he got on there and said, okay, I used to get a little bit of a fear of flying. I don't anymore. But this was back when I had a little bit of a fear of flying. It was early on in my Christian faith. And this well-known pastor worldwide gets on the plane and says, there's no way this plane's going down. There's no way. And at that moment, no kidding, I had peace. The storm that was, I was like, ah, what's that noise? Well, just calm. And I was like, wow, that's really good. I'm so glad he's on our Lord. The plane's not going to go down. God spoke to my heart. Wait a minute. You have peace when he got on? I was here the whole time. And I was, you're right, Lord. You're right. It doesn't matter. The Lord's the one that's with you in every situation. And we're not going anywhere until the Lord says so. He's the captain. If we're following him and we're doing what he's asked us to do, we can rest. And God is faithful to do that. And God's going to be faithful to you to do that as well as he works in our life. But again, why are you so fearful? Why do you have no faith? I'm with you is what the Lord would say. It's another way of recognizing again that the Lord is there with us. And so again, Isaiah 59:19 says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and that's appropriate to this, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And it speaks of a battle standard. And it was the flag they held up or the standard they held up that showed who they were. So that's what the standard is. Saying, look, you want to go to war? Satan, you want to go to war? It's on. It's on. And God allows the enemy for a while. I'm not in a prideful way. We don't run to Satan, whatever, this kind of thing, whatever. Not that's it. But we say, you know what, Lord, you deal with it. This is your battle. You're the Lord. You raise up a standard. I'm standing on the boat with you. You fight him. You muzzle him. You tell him what to do. And then we pray for God to do it. And God's faithful to do that. And so again, notice this, verse 41, they feared exceedingly. And why did they fear exceedingly? The language gives a picture. They're more afraid now than they were just of the storm. Just because they're realizing the authority and the power of the one they were in the boat with. Again, we need to grasp this. This is a lesson they needed to learn. It's a lesson we need to learn. And I'm not saying I want you to be in a boat or anywhere else like that and go through this kind of thing. But I wish, that we could all just right now at that moment somehow let it sink into our heart. We have the God of the universe is with you right now. He's with all of us in this room. And so he's able to change anything and move how he wants in any particular moment. And by the way, when we know how much he loves us, 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. And so don't be afraid. The Lord's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But it's scary, Mark. Waves are throwing me everywhere. I'm getting blown. I'm being pulled from all sides. And it looks like water's coming. It looks like this thing may not work out. It may go down. No. Are you in the boat God put you in? If you know you're in the boat God puts you in, that boat's going nowhere. I know I keep repeating that, but just let it sink deep into your heart. They feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obeyed him? And again, that recognition, they simply spoke the word and the power of God was released and the demonic realm, I believe, rebuked as well. And so God allows you, okay, Lord, why are you allowing this again? So we learn to trust him. And again, we need to recognize this. When we're in the midst of the storm, Jesus is the one in control, not Satan or your circumstances. And it may feel like you're being thrown everywhere and it's out of your control, okay? But it's not out of the Lord's control. He's the one that controls it. And so again, as we look at this and wrap this up today, and the question for us is, look, are you in a storm right now? Let me say this, and I say I want to encourage you. If you're not in a storm, you're going to be. That doesn't sound encouraging on its face. But here's why it's encouraging. You're going to be in storms. But if you're doing what God's called you to do, he's right there in the midst of it with you. And even if you're veering off and where you shouldn't be, he's calling you to come back today. Get out of that boat. Get in the right boat. But even from that boat, the Lord will hear your cry. It's not that he won't hear your cry. But if you know you're in the boat God's got you in, then you can rest and realize, Lord, I know it's crazy. I'm just going to grab on. I'm just going to just let it happen. It is what it is. It's almost kind of like when you're caught in that rainstorm and you know you're not going to get back in time. You start running, trying to get back, and now you're just soaked. You give up. Doesn't matter. I'm just soaked. You just walk slow and just let yourself get drenched. I'll get there when I get there. You may be in the midst of that kind of storm. Just hang on. Let God work, and he's going to be faithful. Again, secondly, I want to encourage you, make sure you stay in the boat. Don't jump out. If you guys are in the midst of a trial, don't think, well, God's not waking up to my situation. God's not helping me like I think he should right now. God knows what he's doing. He's growing your faith. He's teaching you to trust him. He's not going to give you more than you can take. Stay in the boat. The world has nothing for you. You're simply going to drown. They're going to swallow you up, and you're going to drown by jumping out of the boat. Stay in the boat. And lastly, again, if you realize that you're in the wrong boat as a believer, if you realize you're in the wrong boat, get in the right boat. Ask God to forgive you. Get out of that boat and say, Lord, I want to get back with you. I've been going my own path, my own way, and I've been facing these storms alone. I don't like this. I want to get with you. Storms are going to happen. I'd rather them happen with you than just me out here on some tangent by myself. And lastly, I want to say this. For those of you in here that have never gotten in a boat with the Lord at all, you've watched everything from the shore, but you've never gotten in the boat. You don't even know him. Listen, if the Lord is drawing you in, get in the boat today. Become a part of the family. It's simply believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose again 3 days later, and if you put your faith in him and ask forgiveness from your heart, you'll be born again. It's interesting, and I'll finish with this. The boats, they found an ancient boat there in the Galilee region, really right over from Capernaum. When the waters were down real low one year there at the Sea of Galilee, and they brought the boat out, they preserved it, and they took the style of that boat that they found, a 2,000-year-old boat that had been preserved because the way it was in the mud and preserved in the water and all. You wouldn't think it would, but it did because of the way the mud covered it. And they rebuilt boats there, these tourist boats that you go out in, that if you go to Israel, you get to go out in one of those boats. It's kind of a replica on a larger scale of what that boat was. And the cool thing about that, of course, they didn't know that at the time, but they've changed it since then. I don't know if they changed it because it's so obvious. But on the front of the boat was the mast that went straight up and, of course, had the other part this way. And all these boats are going across the Sea of Galilee with a big cross right on the front of them. And it was interesting because I noticed that for years they had, and suddenly, all of a sudden, all those came down. And I don't know whether or not the Jewish community thought, well, that looks too obvious, we're getting rid of that. I don't know. I don't know if there's any motive in that or not. But the bottom line to remember is this, guys. Look, in the boat that you're in with the Lord, it comes through the cross. The cross is the central part. You focus on the cross. You believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and resurrected, and you're going to be in the right boat, and you know that you're going to go to heaven. So I want to pray for us right now and pray over those of you that are in a storm. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you again for the encouragement you give us in your word here, because I know there's many of my family right now in this room, my brothers and sisters that are in the middle of a storm. Some of them are small storms. Some of them are medium storms. Some of them are really big. Seems like the wind is blowing on all sides. The boat is simply reeling up and down with the wind blowing all directions. Water's getting in the boat. We're all going to die. No, we're not. Because it's a boat you put us in. And you said we're going to the other side. Help us, God, to hang on. To get our eyes fixed firmly on you. And to realize that we need to, through faith, learn to weather the storm and see your faithfulness. Because you are faithful and you will be faithful. So encourage, Lord, those right now that are in the storm. And even if you don't lift the storm, God, I pray there might be some in this room right now, you would say, peace, be still. And now the storm would go away. But even if, Lord, even if you're going to wait longer, even if you're not going to awake yet to their situation, calm their heart. Lord, let the waters of their heart settle and not be turbulent and be rested, no matter what's raging all around it, to realize everything's okay because you, Lord, are with me. And Father, I pray lastly, if there's anyone that has never, ever gotten in that boat with you, Lord, that right now they would realize they need to have their sins forgiven. They're in a storm, and probably the storms they're in are caused by the life they're living. And God, if you've convicted them, I pray that right now they begin to confess that to the Lord. If that's you, confess your sins to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Tell him you believe that he died for you and that he rose again 3 days later. Receive him. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Receive his drawing. Give your life to him. Join us in the boat and we will all go to the other side together. And Lord, how we look forward to the day we're in the kingdom with you and all the storms are done as we just sit at your feet, Lord, and just listen to you. Teach us and lead us throughout eternity. Thank you for the work of your Spirit this morning, Lord, and we give you all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Mark Kirk. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Mark's teaching ministry by visiting calvaryknoxville.org.